The White House says President Biden talked with Israel's Netanyahu on Wednesday, stressing the importance of bringing the ceasefire hostage release agreement to conclusion. They also discussed, the White House said, upcoming talks in Cairo to remove any remaining obstacles. This is ABC News. A movie studio is apologizing for phonied-up quotes in a new trailer for an upcoming Francis Ford Coppola flick.
The first full trailer for Francis Ford Coppola's upcoming epic Megalopolis, which is getting mixed reviews, came out Wednesday.
True genius is often misunderstood.
And it featured quotes about his other now classic films, Andrew Sarris from The Village Voice calling The Godfather a sloppy, self-indulgent movie, Apocalypse Now and more also being trashed, the idea being that critics don't get Coppola movies at first, but eventually they're considered masterpieces. Problem is, all the quotes were quickly fact-checked, and they were all fake. Lionsgate is recalling the trailer, saying in a statement, quote, "We screwed up. We're sorry." Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Note to film aficionados, Between the Temples, starring Jason Schwartzman and Carol Kane, being released this weekend, will have a certain look to it. Director Nathan Silver shot it on a rarely used Kodak film produced only in small quantities. He says it's because the film is warm and alive. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trygve Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. They put out fake AI photos of Taylor Swift saying that she endorsed him.
Right. And Trump retweeted that. And of course, all of that is untrue.
Don't mess with the Swifties. Exactly. You'll have my daughters showing up.
I mean, it's a whole new level of Swift boating.
Trump and Las Vegas might get Swift boated already. Taylor Swift boated.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Matt and Air on Air.
I trust Tim Walz to blank.
One from Luke Mathers that says, Tim Walz seems like the neighbor who knew that you were going to be out of town that weekend, so he mowed your lawn while you were gone so you didn't have to do it when you got back.
Keith from Middleton.
I was just going to say, I trust Tim Walz to watch my 3 and 5-year-old grandchildren.
I trust Tim Walz to escort me home to get away from the creep at the bar.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You only get one body, so, you know, thinking about how we can be out there and be as protected.
That's Packers running back A.J. Dillon with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly clear sky developing in the overnight with light southeast winds. Temperatures dropping to the mid-50s at sunrise. On Thursday, mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies, highs in the mid and upper 70s. Storm chances on the increase for Thursday night. Currently 59 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Join us on our next show for the last day of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, live with Trygve Olsen and more. It's going to be a party. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
James says. Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dr. Laura Hanks coming up at 11:33 for public service announcement. If you ever have a question for the doctor, you can email it to Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane Says at civicmedia.us, and we will make sure the doctor gets your email. Been talking about the DNC going on this week. Every night, by the way, across Civic Media, 6 to 7 p.m., we are having special coverage anchored by Terry Bell. We have Maggie Dawn, Todd Alba, Earl Ingram, and many, many more. Every night, 6 to 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. I highly encourage you to check that out.
I would say we have the best people.
All the best people.
All of them. All of them.
Some pretty good people last night.
Yeah.
Of course, the DNC happening at the United Center in Chicago. But Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz held a coinciding rally at the Fiserv Forum in downtown Milwaukee, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to sneeze.
There you go. Well, between the two rallies, Chicago and Milwaukee, gazonite, 30,000 people attended.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
It really is amazing. We have a clip from Vice President Harris speaking last night at Fiserv Forum. Calvin, let's play that clip, please.
She said the name.
And hello to everyone joining us from exciting Chicago. The delegates at the Democratic National Convention, well, they just completed their roll call. And they have nominated Coach Walz and me to be the next vice president and president of the United States of America.
The place was rocking.
Yeah.
And I thank everyone there and here for believing in what we can do together. We are so honored to be your nominees. This is a people-powered campaign. And together, we will chart a new way forward. A future for freedom, opportunity of optimism and faith. So to everyone in Chicago and across America, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Vice President Kamala Harris last night at Fiserv Forum, in conjunction with the DNC happening in Chicago. And we've been getting some great photos from people who were there last night. You can always text those in. We'd love to see them at 855-752-4842. There was a different rally yesterday.
More of a gathering.
It was a considerably smaller gathering, I would say, in Michigan.
An intimate event.
Very intimate event. Tens and tens.
Dozen of people showed up.
Were there. Donald Trump, the former president, speaking at his rally yesterday in Michigan. See if you can catch the different sense of tone between the vice president and the former president's speech. Calvin, let's play that clip.
It's just insane. But you can't walk across the street to get a loaf of bread. You get shot. You get mugged. You get raped. You get whatever it may be, and you've seen it, and I've seen it, and it's time for a change. We have to bring back our cities. We have these cities that are great cities where people are afraid to live in them. And they have policies. It's just insane.
He does not sound well.
He sounds very tired.
He does.
Yeah, and
slightly sedated.
I mean, with the barrage of Sleepy Joe comments and the hundreds of articles written by various newspapers about Joe Biden's age and cognitive ability and all those things, it's easy to use this moment to say, you know, oh, Donald Trump isn't all there. And, you know, I'm like, oh. But when I say I'm worried about him, I honestly mean it. Like, he's a 78-year-old man running for president.
Who is not terribly healthy. He doesn't exercise.
No. Golfing doesn't count. And he is surrounded by sycophants, yes men, and acolytes who absolutely will never say no to him. So everything he thinks and says, everything he thinks, he says. Everything he says, they say yes. And that sort of
loop.
Behavior loop can create mental health problems as well. So, I mean, honestly, like, I know there are people listening right now who disagree with us and love Trump and want to vote for him, and that's fine. Do your thing, Jelly Bean. But you can't for a moment, in your heart of hearts, when you're alone and not talking to anyone else, think to yourself, this doesn't sound good. You cannot tell me that this is the man for you. He needs to be a 70-year-old man and just go play golf every day.
Well, and he was also supposed to do an interview with a local paper after that rally yesterday in Michigan. Mm-hmm. Again, saying Americans can't even walk across the street to get a loaf of bread. You get shot, you get mugged, you get raped, you get whatever it may be. The amount of crime we have is unbelievable. He was supposed to do this interview with this Michigan outlet, and then when the reporters started asking about specific statistics, they canceled it and said he didn't have time.
Yep. I mean, that's...
Big article in today's Washington Post about crime. Trump referred to data from the Bureau of Justice Statistics indicating a 43% increase in crime from 2020 to 2022. That ended 2 years ago. So this data is from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And since then, crime numbers are down.
And
they just are. And I know people don't want to hear that, but it's true.
But they've designed this narrative that every place that gives us information is crooked, corrupt, lying. You can't trust anyone. So where did these wacky crime statistics come from? The FBI.
Yeah.
They work real hard to make sure the information's correct. Because that information has impact on communities and funding. And
definitely
for all these things that they need. And so to say like a crime is terrible and to make such a gross statement, I don't even want to repeat it just as far as like the people get shot and people get, you know, assaulted. We've seen it. You've seen. No, fortunately, I haven't. But to just say it so flippantly, like it happens all the time. I mean, it's a Tuesday. That means it's got to be happening right now because anywhere USA, especially the cities. No, it's not. It's a lie.
There are problems in some cities.
There are problems.
There are problems along the border. No yes. one is saying everything is perfect. Everything is ducky. We have no issues. No.
Yeah.
But this dystopian, crime-ridden hellhole that MAGA describes mm-hmm. is not the reality that I'm experiencing.
I mean, I've lived in Waukesha City, I lived in Milwaukee City, Racine City, I live in Kenosha City. I've lived in nothing but cities and like very close suburbs my entire life. And in the 46 years I've been on this earth, I haven't witnessed the post-apocalyptic landscape. Let me rephrase that. Post-apocalyptic hellscape that they try to make us believe. And it's disingenuous and it's old and tired and boring. You don't want to get fact-checked because why? Because you're lying? You don't want to do interviews because you can't provide the
facts?
The references? Why? Because you're lying.
Or embellishing or, you know, just picking something out of the air, trying to make it a thing. And it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
J.D. Vance was also in Wisconsin yesterday, stopped in Kenosha.
Glory. My city. Mother glory, my city.
He stopped at Tenuta's.
For those who don't know, Tenuta's is one of the greatest American delis ever. It's an Italian deli where you can buy anything you want. And I literally mean that. It's within arm's reach. It's a very small place, a little claustrophobic, always very busy, but it's awesome. We are big fans of their pasta. He walks in there, and there's a picture of him. This was reported by a gentleman. I don't have his name in front of me right now, but he is a reporter. He was on the ground when... in the room, took a picture of J.D. Vance and apparently said to either a proprietor or one of the higher ups there, what food here don't you like? We'll buy it and feed it to the journalists on the plane. Now, Jane, you had some concern about this and I don't, you know, this quote, we don't, you know, it was reported by a reporter.
Right. It's reported by a source.
And the thing is if it's not 100% true, I'll retract. I'm fine with that. I'll say, okay, he didn't say that. The problem is that it's not outside of his brand to say something like that. It's not surprising. If Tim Walz said that, I'd be like, that's, I know you thought that was funny, but that's not funny. Because What it is it's the continuing narrative of being hostile towards journalists, the press, reporters, anybody who is showing the truth in real time, you have a problem with. Your guy has spent the past 9 years standing on podiums, pointing at the people who have been giving him near free media for nearly a decade and saying, they're the enemy. So the fact that he would say something like that, even if it was, you know, even if it wasn't true, I'd be like, well, it does sound like something he would say. So, and also, dude, you're in a local business. Just be cool.
Well, what business owner on earth is going to say, this is something that no one likes, buy this?
Yeah, exactly.
That seems like a bad marketing plan.
You ever have that uncomfortable laugh when someone you know that you have to, like, be respectful and, you know, like a higher up boss, you're like, and they say something, you're like, yeah.
We have a break.
Reese Gorman is his name. I just want to get
Reese
that.
Gorman. Thank
Reese
you.
Gorman is the name of the person who posted this.
When we return, we're going to have a quick little All the Best People update from one of the people who was at the Republican National Convention.
Oh, he.
And then bad news, childless, loud laughing cat ladies. There's now something we're not allowed to eat. Faux News says so. All the details are coming up. This is Matt Nair on air. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. A recent survey found that in the last year, 25% of Americans used Buy Now Pay Later services like Afterpay or Klarna or Zip. We spend more with Buy Now Pay Later because, you know, six easy payments of $30 feels more affordable than $180 all at once for that cowboy hat or those leggings or that Yeti cooler. But when paying the full price for something feels uncomfortable, that is a clear sign for me that the purchase probably doesn't align with my financial goals. If Buy Now Pay Later is helping somebody replace a necessary thing, like an appliance or something like that, that's a sign that their emergency fund plan needs some attention so they don't have to finance those situations. Buy Now Pay Later encourages us to develop money behaviors that aren't that helpful for our long-term financial security. For more money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Take good care.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dr. Laura Hanks coming up right after the 11:30 news to take all your questions, answer your health concerns. Right now, though, we are still talking about the DNC.
Mm-hmm.
The dual rallies that were going on last night in Milwaukee at Fiserv and then in Chicago at the United Center. And we're kind of comparing some of the speakers who appeared at the RNC to the DNC. Of course, one of the speakers at the RNC, who famously ripped his shirt off behind the podium to announce he's voting for Donald Trump, Hulk Hogan.
WWE Hall of Famer, along with Donald Trump.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan recently captured. This was at a bar, I believe.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, all the best people. Let's take a listen, Cal, into this clip from Hulk Hogan being a little loose.
You want to get crazy? You want me to throw more beers out? You want me to body slam somebody? You want me to body slam Kamala Harris? I said, do you want me to body slam Kamala Harris? You want me to drop the leg on Kamala? Is Kamala a chameleon? Is she Indian? Okay, I like it. Ow. I'm going to get heat for that one, brother. That was not me. That was the beers talking.
Oh, that was the beers talking.
Oh, that's always
that was just the beers talking.
That's always the excuse. And
I was just kidding. I was just kidding. Hulk Hogan, after this happened after the RNC, obviously.
Yeah.
This is within the last couple of days, somebody caught this and posted it.
But Hulk Hogan is a saved man. He's a Christian now.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yes, he is. He loves God. He's got God tattoos now, and he used to wear a cross, but now he always wears a cross. He's saved. Also, don't by any chance look up Hulk Hogan racism. Just don't do that.
Don't do that.
Because this clip will not be the first thing that pops up, most likely.
I'm sure.
I grew up on Hulk Hogan. Eat your vitamins, say your prayers. We didn't know about steroids. I was 8. He was someone you looked up to. He was someone that you wanted to be around. He was a cool guy, and he had cool friends, and you wanted to wrestle with them. And to see him become such a piece of trash, and I'll call him that because that's what he is. He sounds like Ted Nugent in 2008 when he was making violent claims against Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
But yet people are like, oh, it's just a joke. It's not a joke. And you know that because he said, I'm going to catch a lot of heat for that. He didn't care about a joke. I love jokes. He cared about the reaction. And now, guess what? He's got it.
Now he's got some attention.
Yeah.
There you go. Well done. All right. Class is in session.
What's up?
Childless, loud, laughing cat ladies.
Okay.
We have a new rule.
Do I have to leave?
No, you can stay.
Okay.
New rules for childless cat ladies from Faux News. They're not happy, shockingly. They're not happy that Kamala Harris says that she eats Doritos. She likes nacho cheese Doritos.
And who doesn't?
Apparently, they take big issue with this. Calvin, let's play that clip from Faux News.
So that's what people.
I learned two things. One, she calls her husband Dougie, and also that will be the first gentleman's name. Also, I don't believe she eats these. I don't believe that women over a certain age are eating these. I don't.
Wow.
I can't afford to.
Oh, okay. The blonde bobblehead on Faux News can't afford to buy a bag of nacho Doritos. I believe you, honey.
You can't afford a bag of... I'll buy you some.
You should renegotiate your contract if that's true.
And if you check the record, I make seriously less money than her.
And you can afford a bag of nacho Doritos?
I'm a man, baby.
Oh, well.
I'm a man.
So I'm 64. Apparently, I can no longer eat. Is it just nacho Doritos or is it all Doritos?
Calvin, can we? You're the young person.
You're the
here.
Young person.
I'm not sure. My 54-year-old mother eats chips of all kinds with the dog every night when she gets home from work.
Sounds like you're selling your mom out right now, Calvin. It's just like
I kind of am. She needs to stop feeding the dogs chips.
Oh, Mama B, son just called you out.
Oh man, what were we talking about? That was hilarious.
Well,
but yeah, I mean.
No, Kamala Harris, this is all you got, people? She's lying about eating Doritos? They don't like this about her. They don't like that about her. They don't like that she cooks.
Well, and you know what? Honestly, though, Jane, let's take, we got that story. Fine. They complain about everything that they do. They can look both ways on the street and they can be like, you're not an American. You got to walk with not looking at all and be brave like an American. Anything they do will be criticized. Like, you know they wanted to make fun of her for calling her husband Dougie. If he was my husband, I'd call him Dougie. I referred to him as the first Doug.
I like the first Doug.
Yes, he is our first Doug. But let's pull back the lens to the macro view. They're saying all this ridiculous garbage because they have nothing. They can't complain about their policies because they don't understand them enough to really whine about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't have researchers in that vein. So what do they have to do? Pick and pick and pick at all this surfacey stuff and hope that it hits the wall and sticks. And yeah, I'm sure there are Fox News devotees who watch and go, yeah, women over here don't eat Doritos. They only eat Mucinex covered chips. Blah, blah, blah.
They make those?
Okay. But that is the overall problem for them, is that there's nothing to talk about that's substantive. So they're going for
ludicrousness.
And they're sounding just as unhinged as the guy they want people to vote for.
Kevin, let's play that clip about how Faux News is not happy that Kamala Harris knows how to cook.
Right, that would be a huge glass ceiling shatterer. But I don't want to hear about a White House, you know, president cooking like that, and especially a woman. Like, I don't cook, and I proudly wear that badge. I am not domesticated whatsoever, and my kids are pretty much, you know, fending for themselves.
Look, Cheryl, what killed me was one of the lines where it specifically said how she impressed Mindy Kaling with her onion dicing skills. And look, I'm not trying to shame anyone whatsoever, but the whole point is, why are they trying to make a chef out of someone that just has a couple basic skills in the kitchen? And certainly, why are they trying to do that with someone who's supposed to be my commander-in-chief?
I don't care if the president of the United States is a good cook or not. And I think this is pandering, obviously, to women. Julie, I'm with you. My sister is a gourmet cook. I got nothing. So thank you very much. No. I don't really care if she can cook or not. That doesn't connect to me as a woman.
She should have stopped at I got nothing.
Yeah.
She should have just stopped at I got nothing and left it at that.
You are the one pandering. You were the one pandering.
They are the ones pandering. Absolutely. And by the way, meet me outside the station. Doritos for everybody, ladies.
Woo!
Bring your cats. Bring your dogs.
Cool ranch, macho cheese, double cheesy spiciness.
News is coming up next. And then public service announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Tim Walz night at the Democratic National Convention.
It's the honor of my life to accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States.
The Minnesota governor likening the current state of the campaign to a football team trailing late in game but driving downfield. He delivered a broadside against former President Trump.
You know, when I was teaching every year, we'd elect a student body president. And you know what? Those teenagers could teach Donald Trump a hell of a lot about what a leader is.
The former president goes to an Arizona border crossing today, expected to produce ordinary citizens, victims of crimes allegedly committed by people not in the U.S. legally. The White House says President Biden talked with Israel's Netanyahu on Wednesday, stressing the importance of bringing the ceasefire hostage release agreement to conclusion. They also discussed, the White House said, upcoming talks in Cairo to remove any remaining obstacles. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Democratic National Convention roll call was full of cameos, music, and even Lil Jon, but Governor Tony Evers had a tough time getting through his lines. People online had a lot to say, but at least he had a good sense of humor.
Yeah, is all. I mean, it was a mistake. Life goes on.
On Twitter, Evers used his classic holy mackerel. And fans could buy booze for the first time at UW-Madison's Fieldhouse. The Badgers volleyball squad took on Bradley in an exhibition. This year, alcohol will be sold at most athletic facilities on campus, and they're currently in the middle of that rollout. According to the Wisconsin State Journal, there were a few drinks available for about $12, and they were all a big hit. People who appear to be under 40 have to scan their ID, and no one can buy more than two drinks at a time. Alcohol will be sold at Camp Randall for the first time next Friday when the Badgers take on Western Michigan. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. You can track the trajectory for my addiction if you gauge my weight from season to season. Those are the words of Matthew Perry from his book, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing. Perry says when he was carrying weight, he was drinking, and when he was skinny, it was pills. And when he had a goatee, it was lots of pills. According to the New York Post, series producers Marta Kaufman and David Crane spoke to the Times of London about their process when they learned of Perry's addiction to drugs and alcohol. Crane said they asked Perry if he wanted to leave the show to deal with his substance issues, to which Perry replied, "No, this is really important to me." Perry said in his book that he estimates he spent roughly $9 million in an attempt to become sober. The late star also said that season 9 of Friends was the only season of the show he was fully sober for. Perry was found dead in his hot tub in October 23 from a ketamine overdose. His live-in assistant has recently been charged, along with four others, in connection to Perry's death. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly clear sky developing in the overnight with light southeast winds. Temperatures dropping to the mid-50s at sunrise. On Thursday, mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies, highs in the mid and upper 70s. Storm chances on the increase for Thursday night. Right now, it's 58.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Paul 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Even Scott Walker and other Republicans are going apoplectic because Trump keeps melting down into these personal attacks. He's just off the rails, Trigby.
You know, Scott may not be the brightest man, but he knows what politics is. Donald Trump is never going to change. Scott, come on the show. We'll talk about it. Todd and I will be nice to you, and I won't make Badger Boy State jokes.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning from Chicago, we'll preview the big night for Kamala Harris as the vice president accepts the presidential nomination at the Democratic convention.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us, you can call, you can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin pretty much on a daily basis. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for public service announcement. Dr. Laura Hanks is here. Good morning, Dr. Hanks. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing okay. I've got a little bit of a scratchy throat, so sorry in advance.
That's not a problem. Not a problem. Have you been able to watch any of the DNC while it's been going on this week?
I've definitely been watching the clips. I haven't been able to sit down and watch it because, you know, we're dealing with sickness at the house, of course.
It seems like you always are dealing with sickness at the house.
That's what happens.
I know,
when you
have used to it.
But it's, you like have little kids.
Well. Yeah.
They're just little.
No, I've seen some really interesting clips, and it sounds like the energy there is just bonkers, and sounds really exciting. I was listening to an interview with the Illinois governor. He sounds like a trip and a half.
Yep.
And he's really jazzed and excited, and I can't wait to watch. I know the Obama spoke last night, but I want to kind of like sit down and watch the whole thing.
It's so absolutely worth it.
Very powerful.
Yeah, it really is worth it. They both gave such great speeches. There were some very impactful speakers on Monday night as well, when they were talking about people's experience with trying to get abortion health care, and some really painful stories. But I think it's important that we don't let this issue go away, because Senator Lindsey Graham over the weekend said this election is not going to be about abortion.
This is not about abortion. People don't care about abortion. No one cares. It's not that big of a thing. Everything is fine. It's back to the states. Everybody's happy. That's not true.
And for on behalf of white men everywhere, I'm so sorry for him. He shouldn't be talking right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so unfortunate. And I mean, again, you get so used to doing what you do every day, and this is part of my job. And so I sometimes have to step back and remember that, like, I hear these stories every day and it's heartbreaking, and I, you know, want to get the word out. But then there's people like Lindsey Graham and they're, you know, that don't hear it and think, and even Trump has said, you know, everything's going great. It went back to the States. I don't think it's really an issue anymore. But it's really easy to say that when you're, you know, eating cheeseburgers at Mar-a-Lago every day. Like, you just don't see the reality of what's happening.
Well, and I still think, Dr. Hanks, that there is misinformation, especially among white male lawmakers, that an ectopic pregnancy can somehow be removed and then re-implanted in the uterus and everything will be just dandy. That's not how it works.
No. No, there's a lot. There's been a lot of medical advances, but that is not one of them. It's not possible to. I mean, the whole point of a pregnancy is that it's very sticky. It's gonna attach to. You know, it needs to attach to the uterus in order to get blood supply and the nutrients to grow. And if it doesn't attach to the uterus, it's gonna attach to something else. So there is no way with the science and technology that we have to detach a pregnancy and for it to remain viable, for it to be attached somewhere else. That's just impossible at this day and time. And I mean, anyone that, I don't know if that's anything that's going to be figured out in this lifetime, quite honestly.
Right. But for right now, that is just not feasible. If a woman has an ectopic pregnancy, either she has to have it taken care of or she could die, correct?
Exactly. Exactly. So it's, but you know, the majority of these, over 90%, are going to be in the fallopian tubes, and the fallopian tubes just cannot expand enough to accommodate a pregnancy. And so they will, once they rupture, will cause massive bleeding and can kill the mother.
We do have a couple of clips that from some of the speakers that were there on Monday night at the DNC. This first one that we have is from Hedley Duval. She's told a story about having an abortion when she was 12, Calvin.
I was raped by my stepfather after years of sexual abuse. At age 12, I took my first pregnancy test, and it was positive. That was the first time I was ever told, you have options. I can't imagine not having a choice. But today, that's the reality for many women and girls across the country because of Donald Trump's abortion bans.
12 years old, you're in seventh grade.
You're still a child, you know? And I mean, like, it's just the whole story is awful. You know, the domestic abuse, sexual abuse is also obviously a huge problem, not just in our country, but around the world. And I mean, can't we focus our energy there? Like, can't we be trying to fix that instead of taking away access for patients that are in this horrible situation? I just, like, it makes no sense to me where they want to, like, focus their attention,
right?
You know, this is, and by them focusing their attention in the wrong places, these are the outcomes. And
yeah, instead of, I don't know, having workshops for men on why you don't do that, why that's not good, why it's unhealthy, what a healthy relationship is. I mean, there's so many things that could be addressed on the front end. That, like you said, Dr. Hanks, that's never where the focus is. It just isn't. Never.
Yeah.
I mean, coming from the point of view of a man, we'd have to start from a very young age. And let's just talk about basics of sex education in schooling, which is, I mean, I might as well just say I want to give everyone free abortions. That would set people on fire saying you want sex education in schools. teaching kids about contraception, teaching kids about consent. I mean, my God, when I see videos about parents losing their mind, like, oh, we teaching our kids about consent, that's my job. Okay, are you doing it then?
Right.
Yeah, are you actually doing it?
Or are you doing it with a wink and a nod? It's like, yeah, son. No, it's, we men have a lot of work to do. And I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's not just about educating them on the topics. It's about really reforming their minds and how they see the whole picture. Women, men, relationships, the consequences. Because, you know, they think there are people out there, and they're very religiously minded, where you, doctor and Jane and other people we've talked to, ectopic pregnancies, it's not viable. But in their mind, they think, but you never know. There could be a chance. And what would happen if? And you have to say, well, I can't argue that, because in my, in your mind, it's done. And so yeah. I don't even know how to, like, with my guy friends who are cool, it's hard to have this conversation because you feel like you're a killjoy.
I'm sure. We have another clip from one of the speakers from Monday night at the DNC. This is Kate Cox, who actually sued for abortion access in Texas. I think a lot of us have heard this story, but let's listen to that clip, Calvin.
I'm Kate Cox, and I love being a mom. I have two beautiful children, and my husband and I have always wanted a third. But when I got pregnant, doctors told us our baby would never survive. And if I didn't get an abortion, it would put a future pregnancy at risk. But Trump didn't care. And because of his abortion bans, I had to flee my home. There's nothing pro-family about abortion bans. There's nothing pro-life about letting women suffer and even die.
That was Kate Cox. That actually
today,
was... Oh, sorry.
Because I found a way to access abortion care, I am pregnant again. And my baby is due in January, just in time to see Kamala Harris sworn in as president of the United States.
Kate Cox, that was actually during the roll call last night at the DNC at the United Center in Chicago. What happy news for her and her husband and her family. That's just great news. But sorry, Lindsey Graham, this election is going to be about abortion. It just is.
Yeah. They don't want it to be because they know it's a loser for them.
Exactly. That's what they're trying to do. They know, I mean, all the polls show that, like, they lose on this topic, and they're going to try to, you know, turn it towards anything else. But we just have to keep talking about it. And I'm so proud, you know, like, I think that even Democrats in the past have been a little shy to talk about it. And it's incredibly frustrating that it took overturning Roe v. Wade. Yeah. Like, coming into medicine, like, I remember when Trump was elected and we were all just, you know, crying on the labor floor and saying, like, Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned. And some people are like, you guys are being real dramatic. Like, come on, it's not that bad. And this is what happens. I mean, this is the reality now that we live in. We thought it would never happen, and here we are, and we need to keep talking about it, and we need to keep telling these stories. And it's awful that it's happening to these patients, but it's happening. And, you know, we need to get out there and get everyone to vote and pay attention to the issue.
Well, and there's certainly more states now that are putting constitutional amendments on their ballots regarding abortion.
Absolutely.
Which is good. Yeah. And not in states that you would necessarily expect, like with states like Kansas.
Kansas. That's what the only state. Kansas.
Right.
And that was another one where they thought, oh, yeah, no problem. The people are going to speak. And they lost. And they protect. There is hope out there. And Jane, you have a story you've told, and I want you to tell it as many times as you want, about the notion of people saying, oh, it's not a big deal, it's nothing, it's Roe v. Wade, I didn't hear about it, or it does. What's the big deal?
I worked with someone when that leak came down, and I told him that I wanted to do a series of stories on what this was going to mean on the ground for women and doctors and nurses on the ground. Practical things. Yeah. You know, what if I come in with an ectopic pregnancy, what will that mean if I can't get abortion care? And my male colleague said, well, I'm not seeing anything about that on my Twitter feed. Well, right, because you're a man. I don't know. Maybe that's not your top of mind thing.
Yeah.
And you don't have a lot of people in your very sports heavy world that aren't talking about this. I said, but trust me, I think 51% of the population is going to be somewhat annoyed that their bodily autonomy is being taken away.
Oh, but that's such a great opportunity for you to then educate, right? Like you had that opportunity. Like I would flip that, like while, you know, it's like a facepalm moment, let's say like, well, let's talk about that. Like what is on your Twitter feed? Why do you think you're not seeing it? These are some really good resources that you could follow. What if you followed Planned Parenthood? What if you, you know, followed us?
Right.
Like, but here's some really good resources. And that's like a lot of my job is like, you know, Google's a scary place, but it's like, there is some really good stuff on the internet. Like Guttmacher, Institute is a really hard name to spell. I'll give you that, but it has excellent abortion information and it's up to date information, state by state, what's going on, what you know, what's been happening. This was even before Roe v. Wade. You know, so I think that like when we have those moments, you just have to like take a deep sigh, shake it off, and get back out there. You know, like that's our jobs, right? To educate and to make people more aware of what is actually happening and how it's affecting us and our lives, even if they don't feel it's directly affecting. I mean, even for example, when my dad was on, right? Like he tried to say for a minute that it didn't affect him. I was like, no, Dad,
it does.
He's like, come back to me. Like you have told me stories where this affected you. He's like, oh yeah, that's right. You know, like, and he knows that, like, you know, we've had lots of talks about this and he's very, you know, supportive of us and what we do. So just bringing it back to that conversation.
So apparently my calling him a knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing Neanderthal was not the correct way to handle that. Point taken, point taken, Dr. Hanks. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Fabulous Farm Bay, Pam Yonke here, bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings on WLAK. This isn't just for farmers, people. It's for anybody that enjoys food. Tune in 5 a.m. on Lake Air 1260, WLAK, Amory.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can join us. Call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She joins us every Wednesday at this time for a public cervix announcement. Dr. Laura Hanks is here. Dr. Hanks, I want to talk a little bit before we wrap up the show about the importance of self-care and what that means and how bad stress is for us and therefore why it is important for us to, I don't know, sometimes get away a little bit and relax.
Vacate.
As some say. Yes. Oh. You must have your mic. There we
Sorry.
Go.
Really interestingly, interesting or not, there have been tons of studies on physician burnout specifically over the last couple of years. And it gets brought up at all the meetings, and kind of my favorite joke to make is that I'm burned out of talking about burnout, because we talk about it a lot. But jokes aside, it is something very important. Over 50% of physicians are burned out in our country, and that can lead to obviously poor outcomes, patients not being satisfied, kind of having bad bedside manner, can, and even worse, lead to depression and suicide in the physician community. So that's physician, obviously that's kind of like my area.
Sure.
But I think in general, it is a bigger problem, especially around the time of COVID. We all kind of were feeling burned out of just being stuck in our houses and dealing with this, international pandemic. So I think the other thing this kind of like idea of like burnout with the counter idea of wellness really came about in my residency. And so they would have these like wellness times, but we used to, again, joke, call it like forced wellness.
forced
because,
health.
Right. It would be things like, we're going to do yoga, but like wellness is individualized. You can't just tell everyone to go journal and yoga because that's not how everyone gets,
their release or their relief.
Their relief. Yeah. Yeah. Some people do, and it's great, but you can't just tell a whole group of residents, we're going to do a yoga class and you're going to be well and not burned out. That's ridiculous. That's kind of like how they started all this. But I did find a really good paper that looked at, like, because I was thinking about what you said about going on vacation, which I think is a huge part to kind of step away from work and like turn off your work phones and emails and stuff like that. I'm horrible at that. I still check my
emails. Yeah,
it's like something I'm working on is like giving myself boundaries. But in terms of like work, this one paper I found talked about giving yourself like duty out, like being like, I'm going to work in these hours and then I'm going to be on break and like turn my phone off. Having like productive targets. So like saying, I want to get through this, but if I'm not done at 5 o'clock, then I'm like done for the day and that's okay. Other things was, kind of going off of that, like not setting work meetings for 7 p.m. When you're home with your family. Like right now, that's something that's like, I'm really frustrated with. I have like a couple meetings that have been like set for 7 p.m. because no one else can meet during the day. And as doctors, we're just expected to be on all the time.
Sure.
And so like advocating for yourself to say like, I've got a family, that's a bedtime. It's like 2 hours a day I get to see my kids.
Yeah.
So advocating for yourself to really stand up and set those boundaries, I think is really important.
I think that you took the words out of my mouth, doctor. I was going to say, yeah, you have to advocate for yourself because we do live in, and I will blame social media to a point about this, which is showing these people who push this narrative of you need to work hard and you need to work harder all the time. And if you're off, someone else is vying for your job and your bosses are taking notice. And then you are afraid to truly get away and you're afraid to turn off your work phone, turn off your email, because then you're not, I mean, if you're worried on your vacation, you're not vacationing.
Right.
And
right.
So,
yeah.
And the problem is, how do you stand up to your boss or your bosses and say, no, I'm leaving at 5 o'clock. That is the contract I have with this company says I work from X to Y. It's Y. I'm leaving now. And you can't guilt me into staying.
Well, and I do think that things have changed a lot since the 80s when I first started in radio, where it was a point of pride. No matter how sick you were, you went in and you pulled your air shift and that's just what you did. And and now we just had a company meeting and it was, we want you to take your PTO.
Yeah.
People, take your darn PTO. You've earned it. It's good for you. You need it.
You're sick. Stay home. You're going to make me sick.
Well, and now actually with when COVID finally, you're sick, stay home. Yeah. Don't get the rest of us sick.
Yeah. And I think that's especially pronounced in the physician world. My dad and I did we talk about this too? I know I always bring up my dad. We obviously like talk a lot.
Cause he's awesome.
Thank you. I think so too. Don't tell him I said that. But he used to say, early physician, 50% of your time was spent doing research, 50% was clinical, and 50% was in the OR. Like, that's what you were expected to do.
Yeah.
And like, if you had a family, you better hope you had a stay-at-home wife to raise them, because you weren't going to be around.
Yeah.
And like, I was super lucky in that my dad he worked his butt off, but damn it, if he wasn't at every single one of my basketball games. My college, I played basketball in college. He came to every single game my senior year.
Wow, that's amazing. That's
made
amazing.
A point to do that.
That's
hugely
fantastic.
Important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Well, I am taking a little time off.
Is that why we were talking about this?
That is kind of why we were talking about this.
Yay,
surprise.
Dang.
Did I not tell you that?
Who's hosting the show?
Calvin, did I not tell you guys?
Calvin's that? Hosting the show?
Greg and Calvin will be here holding things down beautifully.
Oh, God.
I want to take just a little bit of a breath before the final weeks in the run-up to the November election.
Yeah.
Still a lot of work to do, my friends. People are feeling good. That's wonderful. There's a lot of excitement. We're the underdogs. Don't forget it. Work like that. Organize like that.
Vote.
Vote.
Like
vote,
that.
Vote. Vote. Vote like that. Dr. Hanks.
Vote like your uterus depends on it.
Because it does.
You too, Greg.
Yeah.
You heard me.
Dr. Hanks, thank you so very much.
My uterus.
For joining us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you guys, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. News is next, followed by Todd Alba right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Take care.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Crude and Dom. Tune in Thursday, final day of DNC coverage. Tonight is Kamala Harris's night. The Devil's Advocates will take you live to the United Center. You gotta listen.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
If the critique, if the beef of Tim Walz is that he spent money on children, on what they needed, whether that be universal meals or whether that be, you know, record amounts for a state to invest in early childhood development. I am like, man, you are critiquing this guy and making him even more my hero.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. In accepting the Democratic nomination for vice president, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz went right after the Republican Project 2025.
The governor slamming the Republican agenda.
That serves nobody except the richest and the most extreme amongst us.
Labeling it with the word that's become his signature.
Is it weird? Absolutely.
The state championship winning coach ending with a football reference.
Get in the trenches and do the blocking and tackling.
The convention wraps up tonight after presidential nominee Kamala Harris takes the stage. Jacqueline Lee, ABC News, Chicago.
Former President Trump will be at an Arizona border crossing today. He's expected to appear with citizens victimized by crimes alleged to have been committed by people not in the U.S. legally. Canada's two largest freight railroads have locked out employees in a contract dispute. Ramifications for cross-border trade unclear. This is ABC News. We got a little more on Richard Simmons' death.
A spokesperson for the family of Richard Simmons says they were told by the coroner that Simmons' death was accidental due to complications from recent falls, and heart disease is a contributing factor. Nothing suspicious or out of the ordinary. The statement also pointing out that the only drugs he had in his body were routine prescriptions. Simmons died last month at the age of 76 after becoming a recluse in his later years.
ABC's Jason Nathanson in Hollywood. It's a wild lady, a wild animal lady, not just a very large